My dearly beloved in Christ, the Holy Family of Jesus, Mary, and Joseph provides us with the perfect example of the different roles of the members of a family. Saint Joseph, of course, the head of the Holy Family, a model, an example for fathers and husbands to imitate, to take that role of leadership, providing for the family, and so forth. The mothers have our Blessed Mother herself as their model. The mother is the heart of the home and the one who really leads the family, especially by her example. And the children have none other than Jesus himself, the Son of God, who was subject to them, we read in today's gospel. And when families have the members of the family striving to imitate their model, to fulfill their role, there is harmony, there is order, there is peace and happiness in that family. But there is discord when one or more of the members don't fulfill their role and perhaps try and take upon themselves a different role, one that is not assigned to them by Almighty God. And to understand these roles, we go back to the book of Genesis. When Adam and Eve sinned, God spoke to them and to the serpent. He condemned the serpent, and then he said this to Eve. To the woman also, he said, I will multiply thy sorrows and thy conceptions. In sorrow shalt thou bring forth children, and thou shalt be under thy husband's power, and he shall have dominion over thee. And to Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened to the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldst not eat, cursed is the earth in thy work. With labor and toil shalt thou eat bread, shalt thou eat thereof all the days of thy life. Thorns and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herbs of the earth. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return to the earth out of which thou wast taken. For dust thou art, and dust, and unto dust thou shalt return. So again, in these words, God gives us the role of the husband and the wife, the father, the mother in a family. The woman, as a punishment for the sin of Eve, brings forth children in labor, painfully. And then she is under, says God, thou shalt be under thy husband's power, and he shall have dominion over thee. To Adam, God assigned him the role of the provider, says you will earn your bread by the sweat of your brow. You have to work the earth. You have to work and labor to provide for yourself and your family. Now we know that the devil has made every effort to undermine the family, because the family is, we might say, the school of children, where they grow up, they learn, they mature, they imitate their parents, learn from their parents, they develop virtues, and they learn what they need to be able themselves one day to be adults, to have their own families, or to go out in the world. So they're prepared in the nursery of the home for that reason, for that purpose. And of course, the devil knows this. And so he has done everything possible to undermine the family, to get to control of the education and formation of the children, but especially to bring discord into the home. And he does that by confusing the roles of the father and mother, the husband and wife. We find now with the women's movement, the so-called feminist movement or women's liberation, that women want to be more like men. They want to take over the role of the man. And we find men forsaking their role, leaving it to the wife, not being the leader of the family that God destines them to be. And so the solution is for us to reject this false ideology and philosophy of the world and to embrace what God himself tells us. And of course, the apostles reinforced what God said in Genesis. We read from an epistle of St. Paul to the Ephesians at a wedding mass. But here's another epistle. This is St. Peter. This is the first epistle of St. Peter, chapter 3. Let wives be subject to their husbands, so that even if any do not believe the word, they may without word be won through the behavior of their wives, observing reverently your chaste behavior. Let not theirs be the outward adornment of braiding the hair, or of wearing gold, or of putting on robes, but let it be the inner life of the heart, in the imperishableness of a quiet and gentle spirit, which is of great price in the sight of God. For after this manner, in old times, the holy women also, who hoped in God, adorned themselves while being subject to their husbands. So Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord. You are daughters of hers when you do what is right and fear no disturbance. Husbands, in like manner, dwell with your wives considerately, paying honor to the woman as to the weaker vessel and as co-heir of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Now, there is a lot contained in these 10 or so verses. First of all, he speaks about women adorning themselves with virtue. It's more important what is on the inside than what is on the outside. And nowadays, we have an excessive emphasis on beauty, on the body, on externals. Can you imagine if someone who lived, let's say, 200 years ago, was transported somehow through time and went into one of our stores and saw their shelf after shelf after shelf of soaps and ointments and this and that for the body, they would just be totally aghast. Because, and you ask yourself, how did this excessive emphasis on external beauty come about? I think it's photography, television, the video, movies, that whole industry. And if you went back before the time of photography, there wasn't at all the emphasis as much. Now, women, of course, by nature, have that desire to look beautiful for their husband's sake, to take care of themselves. But this excessive emphasis is something really of the 20th and 21st centuries that you would not have found in previous centuries. And St. Peter is saying here, let your beauty, let your adornment not be the outward adornment of braiding the hair, wearing gold, putting on robes. So in other words, these external things, clothing and makeup and so on and so forth. But let it be the inner life of the heart in the imperishableness of a quiet and gentle spirit, which is of great price in the sight of God. And notice he says also in the early part of this chapter, the first couple verses, is let wives be subject to their husbands so that even if they do not believe the word, they may without word be won through the behavior of their wives. So St. Peter is writing at a time when people were being converted from paganism. And very often you'd have the man converted but not his wife, or the wife converted and not his husband. So you had many families where there was one of the spouses that was a Christian and the other was still a pagan. And he's saying here, your husbands, he's addressing Christian women who had husbands who had not yet been converted, they will be converted by your example. Where is real beauty? Beauty, real beauty, is in virtue. That the women, the mothers, who are known for their modesty, their gentleness, their sympathy, their kindness, their whole spirit of, again, sympathy and kindness and gentleness and affability, and that's where the real beauty is to be found, the real feminine beauty. So emphasize the interior, not so much the exterior. And he goes on to say, for after this manner, In old times, the holy women also who hoped in God adorned themselves. And he mentions Sarah. He's saying, look to your ancestors. Holy women concentrated on their role, submission to their husbands, and adorning themselves again with virtue. Then he goes on, husbands, dwell with your wives considerately, paying honor to the woman as to the weaker vessel, and as co-heir of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. So, important words to meditate upon. And again, take your role. Don't let the devil influence women to try and take over the man's role. And men, don't shirk your responsibilities. I have often heard this from women. I wish my husband was more the leader. I wish he would lead our family in prayers. I wish he would be the leader in our Catholic life and the decisive leader of the family that we need. Women want that. They want a strong character, not overbearing, not like a tyrant, but decisive and at the same time gentle and considerate. So, the importance of the roles of father and mother. And then we have the children. And the children look to none other than Jesus himself, who was subject to them. What an amazing gospel we have today, where our Lord had just demonstrated that he could have begun his public life at the age of 12. The teachers, the wise men, the learned men and scribes in the temple were listening to him. And they were amazed at his wisdom and his answers. But he left that aside and returned to Nazareth for how long? Not till he was 21, until he was 30. 18 additional years from that moment of this gospel of submission to his parents, obedience, and living that beautiful domestic life of virtue that we see in the Holy Family. Let us today pray to the members of the Holy Family. Consecrate your family to the Holy Family and strive to fulfill your particular role in the family. And if you do so, there will be concord, there will be peace, and there will be, above all, happiness and joy and growth in virtue. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.